Is there a good recipe for parenting? Hello and welcome to Good Word. I'm Dave Thomas, your host this quarter. We are taking up a very interesting subject today, the question of parenting. And, you know, in opening that subject, I begin by saying that I don't know anybody who feels totally adequate when addressing the question of parenting. Perhaps one of my conversation partners, Jen Ogden or Brant Berglund, will feel that way. But clearly, parenting is something that affects all of us, even if we don't have children of our own, because we grew up being parented. And so I ask you to find colleagues here about parenting. Is there anything in the Bible that is useful for parents? Is there any magic that you can talk about? What are the troubles that we face? What are the goals? You know, let's throw this wide open and see what you have to say.
There are perfect parents in the world. They're the ones who have yet to have children. And then once they have children, they realize how difficult it is. And I just wish that every child came with their own instruction manual. Every child is different.
Yeah.
But the Bible does have a lot to say about parenting. And I think it gives us a lot of examples of good parents and bad parents. Yeah. And I think it gives us encouragement as parents as well. And then it exemplifies our Father.
You remind me that I years ago preached a sermon on parenting before I had children. I blatantly told the congregation I'm going to do this before I have any children so that I can say whatever I want. And then the jury will sit in judgment later. By the way, you talk about parental examples, and I can't miss the point that I once heard Abraham described as the parent of three generations of liars.
Whoa.
That he told lies, then his son told lies, and his grandson told lies. And so, I mean, that's kind of a sobering thing to think about, that apparently his children and grandchildren learned their lessons well. So, anyway, Jen, you were going to say something, I think.
Well, I am the perfect parent because I don't have children.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm there. So if you need parenting advice,
well, let's hear
get
it.
In touch. You know what my parenting advice was? Don't have kids.
Oh, yeah?
Because they're really hard. And once you have them, I think offer yourself grace because you're not going to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that we remember that there's going to be run-ins. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to do the wrong thing. The kids are going to interact and react in a way you've never seen. They're going to pick up stuff from their friends or the television or the radio, and they're going to repeat it because kids are perfect
parents.
Or adopt it. Right, or hold on to it for themselves. And I think you've got to give yourself some grace and keep trying, which I think means reapproach Jesus day in and day out and ask for wisdom. And I think that you've got to give yourself grace, but we also need to extend it as a community of believers to parents who are struggling and who continue to struggle and to continue to offer up hope and give new skills and new guidelines. You know, I think parenting is tough. I think it's one of the toughest jobs in the world. But I think there are some key ingredients that good parents have.
And you have an opinion on what that is? Let's hear it.
I think consistency.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Consistency is a beautiful thing. And integrity, right? Following up with what you say. If I promise my child they're going to lose their toys if they leave them out on the floor and they keep them. You know, my lack of integrity is teaching them about integrity.
And they lose some trust and faith in mm-hmm. those
because
who...
Because they actually pay more attention to what we do than what we say.
Yeah.
And if it's true that our Heavenly Father is an example, when I think about my own failings and my own wanderings from Him and being a poor son, right, then I think, well, He's still there. He still loves me. And if I come back repentant, He is open-armed mm-hmm. to meet me when I come back. You know, the story of the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. He's that father. Then I think, all right, if I have my children who are struggling, how open are my arms? And that doesn't mean there aren't times for tough love. But certainly when a child comes back and says, I'm sorry, help me. Mm-hmm. All right, let's give it another go. And even when they're older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am a parent. And I will never forget what happened to me when I first became a parent. We were in the hospital and our oldest son had just been born. And, you know, after labor and delivery, we were back in the room. And the baby had been taken to be all cleaned up, and then they bring it to you as this wrapped up bundle. You know, after your initial bonding, they take it away, and, you know. And I was sitting in a chair, my wife was in the bed, and the nurse came in and said, "Here," and she put the child in my arms, which I was very happy for. Mm-hmm. But I remember looking down at that little face and thinking, now, oh boy, Dave Thomas, you're in for it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I realized in that moment that inside that little baby was the capacity to contravene everything I ever held dear.
Absolutely.
And I would have no recourse. There's no button for me to push. There's no screw for me to turn. And in that moment, I remember raising my heart to heaven and saying, Lord, I'm very happy to have a son. But I understand as never before that I'm not going to be able to do this by myself.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
and
last week we talked about unity versus uniformity, and when you have that child, you realize the very difference. It's wow. Okay, I would love it if everything went smoothly and we all were on exactly the same page. But we're going to now shoot for uniformity or unity because uniformity is not going to happen.
No, no. Mm. But you know, it seems to me that the trick, if there is one, is to gain the willing compliance of a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that if you run roughshod over the volitional capacity of a child, you can do that when they're little, not when they're two, by the way.
Because they'll,
they'll tell you no. But, you know, when they're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, it's quite possible for you to overrun that. But if you keep doing it, mm-hmm. you will breed rebellion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by the time a child is 15, 16, they have no, they reaches a point where they're quite willing to tell you where to get off the train.
That's mm-hmm. true.
Mm-hmm. And you will get off the train, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but if you're able to maintain willing compliance and love between you, that I think they're willing to, you know, children are very resilient. That was very helpful for me to realize, you know, that if you make a mistake, you haven't destroyed the child. You know, and if you make it over and over again and it's a bad mistake, then you do damage. But a single occasion or two is not going to wreak, you know.
Their bodies are flexible and their minds are more flexible than we might give them credit for. Dave, you know, there's an example in the Old Testament, though, that makes me think that having children is not just about the children. It's sometimes about what is in it for us as well. The story of Enoch comes to mind where Enoch has his firstborn son. And it says that Enoch had his firstborn son. He had other sons and daughters, but then he walked with God. But you look how long he walked with God, and his walk with God began the day his firstborn son was born.
You think that's what the text indicates?
It very much. The timing is more than coincidental. Something happened when he looked into the face of his firstborn and realized, oh, is this what it feels like to be a father?
Yeah.
What type of son should I be to God? And he became that son. And there's maybe a sense in which we as parents, and this is, Jen, you don't have children, and I'm not one of those people who says, you have to have children to be saved. You know, saved. You hear that. But I certainly believe that there are advantages that children can bring to people. And maybe it's, Jen, because you're already sanctified. I needed my children to help bring me to that point.
I don't give her that much room.
Reason I work with them every day instead.
But I need my children to help me grow in the grace of Christ more.
But I do think, I want to add to that, Brent, because I think that when you have children, there are two things that happen that I think are very significant. One is that you grow a whole new dimension of love that you never had before.
Yeah.
I heard people say, well, you shouldn't have children because then you have to share the love you have with your wife or husband. No, you don't.
Mm-mm.
You grow a whole new bubble of it, if I can put
it
that way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have another child, you grow another bubble. And so people who have 12 kids have this massive amount of love that's going around if things go well. The other thing is that I do think you gain a window of understanding on the circumstances that God faces that you wouldn't have when you're not a parent.
Mm-hmm.
See, is that, and you know, I don't want us to miss the sad prospect of what happens when a child goes astray. You know, what do you do then?
Right.
I think you continue to pray for them every day.
Yeah.
And I think you continue to show them love, sometimes tough love, but you certainly expect the best and you communicate that. That just because they make choices you disagree with doesn't mean they're not still valuable to you, to our Heavenly Father, and communicating that is essential.
And it doesn't mean that you're not going to continue to be the parent.
Correct.
I remember telling my sons that age 18 means nothing.
Mm.
That I'm going to be dad until you don't need me anymore, until you demonstrate that you don't need me anymore, which thankfully has happened. But
yeah, I think that the Jewish traditions of bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah are really beautiful. And I think it's something that we miss as parents in our maybe Western society, where we don't have milestones that we mark.
Yeah.
And I think as parents realizing the stage of your children's development, both spiritually and physically and mentally, is really important. And marking them as a family is a really beautiful thing. And I think acknowledging that at a certain point, they need to be able to make some of their own decisions and being okay with that.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking 12 and 13 years old, they need to make some of these these decisions.
Well, Judaism, right? Bar mitzvahs at 12 at 13.
Exactly. They need to be able to make some of these decisions. And as parents, we need to trust that the foundation we have laid with God in their life is going to lead them to the correct and good and healthy place.
Or if they make a mistake, they can still be redeemed.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, my dad was particularly good about that. I remember as growing up, I'd say, Dad, can we do this? And he would think for a minute and he'd say, well, son, I think you're old enough to make that decision. But I learned very quickly that that also meant you're also old enough to take the consequences. If
you're responsible for what happens.
Yeah.
Which I think would be great. We have a little, maybe a case of helicopter parenting in our culture.
A little one?
A little one.
Yeah.
Just a tiny helicopter, a Lego helicopter. Maybe not a Chinook.
I've heard that switch now. It's a snowplow that they clear all the obstacles for their children. You know, I want to throw one other thing in here, you know, that I've known a lot of parents who really beat up on themselves when their children do wrong or choose to do wrong. And I think it's very important to realize that even a very good parent may have a child who becomes wayward because the child has the only ability to choose. You know, that you cannot control the decisions your child makes. And as they reach adulthood, they may choose to reject the value system and the ideas that you hold dear. I don't think that means you quit loving them. It doesn't mean you quit interacting with them. But I think we have to be careful not to be perpetually guilty because of decisions that adult children make that's at odds with what we hoped for them.
There is a sense of shame and honor, I think, in parenting. And along with that comes a sense that if my child does something that I disagree with in my value system, it does bring a sense of dishonor. I mean, I think there are plenty of parents who feel that. That doesn't mean that that child is less valuable, but and maybe it's just a sense that we want our culture to be as good as it can be. And when we're not reaching that, we wonder what could we have done. I know I've had some of those questions myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I noticed one other thing I want to throw in here, and that's the question of single parenting. That somebody, the people who wrote the official lesson pointed out that one of the most difficult tasks a person can be called upon to do. And I wonder if there's something that a church community can do to be of help to people who find themselves having to be single parents. And sometimes it's through no fault of their own, you know. Yeah. We always think, well, some teenager got pregnant and now they're stuck being a single parent. But there are single parents who are that way because of death, because of divorce, because of who knows what. And any quick word as we come to an end here about what we can do to help people who are single parents?
I think being aware of their situation is the first thing. And I think oftentimes people don't even stop to ask, are there things that you need as a single parent, or how can we help? And until you're in that boat, you have no idea what the challenges are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think including them in things. Hey, coming over for lunch today?
Yeah.
Can I take your kid for a frozen yogurt? Whatever it is, just including them is really important.
Yeah, just to give them the sense that they're not alone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Although you cannot be the parent.
Nope.
No, so. Mm-mm. Hey, well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. The difficult subject of how to go about parenting. I think we concluded there is no actual recipe, but there are a number of principles that are very useful. So, Brant and Jen, thank you for your contribution. My thanks to our engineer, Brad Williams. My thanks to you for listening. For the Good Word, I'm Dave Thomas.